I want to spend some time, not a lot, I promise, on that first reading. Remember, that's addressed to us. Huh? Whenever the readings, the council says, whenever the scriptures are read at the liturgy, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. And the Pope recently, in Verbum Domini, says there's an analogy between the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and the presence of this word preached. He's present. So I'm going to... It's a powerful text. And, you know, we just can't say, well, that's the Old Testament. No. That's us. And so the church gives us this meditation on what it means to observe Lent, which is like 40 days of normality. You know, St. Benedict says, yeah, you know, the whole life of a Christian should be Lent, but since few of us are able to do that, at least just agree to do a good job in Lent. You know, that's not exactly his words, but that's the idea. So, this text, I can't read it all because it's too long, but cry with full throat without restraint. Raise your voice like a ram's horn, this calling to a liturgy. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sin. To be sure, they seek me daily, eager to learn my ways, like a nation that does what is right, that has not abandoned the laws of its God. They ask for me the right way, they are eager for the nearness of God. Why, when we fasted, you did not see? When we starved our bodies, did you pay no heed? Because on your fast day, you see to your business and oppress all your laborers. Because you fast in strife and contention, and you strike with a wicked fist, your fasting today is not such as to make your voice heard on high. Is such a fast that I desire? A day for men to starve their bodies? Is it like bowing your head like a bulrush and lying in sackcloth and ashes? Do you call that a fast? A day when the Lord is favorable? No, this is the fast I desire. Unlock the fetters of wickedness. Untie the cords of the yoke. Let the oppressed go free. Break off every yoke. To share your bread with the hungry and take the wretched poor into your home. When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to ignore your own kin. Those are the words that our Lord uses in Matthew 25. I was hungry and you fed me. They come from here, you see. So even then, when people obeyed him, they were touching Christ. The Logos was present, even though not incarnate. Okay. Then your light shall burst through like the dawn, and your healing spring up rapidly. Your vindicator shall march before you. And when you call the Lord, he will answer, here I am. I've talked to you about that word before, right? Hineni. Hineni means, I'm at your service. Genesis 22, when God calls Abraham. Abraham, he says, Hineni. And Rashi, great commentator, Jewish commentator in the early Middle Ages, says, it's a sign of a just man that he's ready to do God's will even before he knows what it is. Hineni. And here's God saying, Hineni, I'm at your service. If you will just do this, you see? But it's true that we have to strive for just structures. And the way of life of a nation should be caring for the poor. But not out of anger. Huh? There's a great theoretician of an earlier age, earlier like in our generation now, Pablo Freire. He wrote a book called The Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And in that book, he said, every revolution does what? It takes the oppressors and makes them oppressed. And it takes the oppressed and makes them oppressors. But nothing's changed. Only the love of Christ. So you see, that's what's going on here. And I thought of a couple of simple examples just if our hearts are open. Of course we need them through the structures. I'm not talking about that, but I have this holy old aunt, really, God. The one, she would talk to anybody about God, anytime, any place. We were standing on a street corner once, waiting for the light to change. And there was a guy talking, and he's standing next to her. He wasn't talking. She, of course, turned to him. Hasn't the Lord given us a beautiful day? Yeah, I guess he has. I mean, so she chatted. I didn't pay much attention to what she was saying. Finally, just before the light changed, she said, my nephew here is a priest. He'll bless you if you'd like. I said, oh, man. Well, of course, I bless him. What am I going to do? I mean, she's more apostolic than I am. And then she got really old, and I was visiting her, and she was had been reading the life of St. Francis. She wasn't a reader. She was a dress designer on Fifth Avenue. And she taught Mrs. Cecil B. DeMille and Mrs. Dupont to say the Memorare. They were all happy to do that. They're all prayer. Those are all prayers to her. They're all Jewish people, and that's prayer to Our Lady. But they loved her. They said the prayer. So anyhow, I'm sitting there, and she said, I read last night that St. Francis was coming home, and he saw a leper, and he kissed him. And that night, Jesus said, that was me you kissed. And she said, that brings me back when I was a young woman married to Ed, her husband. In those days, in New York, you could take the bus anywhere or the subway. They were all safe, So I was all dressed up in my mink coat and on the bus going to meet my husband. Then a woman, an African-American woman, came and sat next to me. And her face was broken out. She had a bad leg. And she had a little coin box that she was jingling, She was humming a song. Now, this is my Aunt Mary, huh? So she says, you have a lovely voice, dear. Just love. And so, of course, the woman responded. Well, they got off at the same stop. So she's telling me this. We got off at the same stop. And I said to her, goodbye, dear. And you remember she had her face is broken out. Could even be syphilis. And the woman said, would you give me a hug? So she said, my man's telling me this. So I did. And then she's thinking now with St. Francis, you see. She said, you don't think. And you could see she was trembling. You don't think. I said, yeah, ma'am, that was Jesus. You could see the expression on her face. I hugged Jesus. That's where it starts, this stuff, you see. Otherwise, the oppressors become the oppressed and the oppressed become the oppressors. I got time for another story. I do. Good. In Rome, in the second century, it was the first century, I guess, there was a big plague in Rome. Everybody who could got out, including Galen, the great medical theoretician of all time. They all got out of town. Except the Christians. They stayed, and they took care of everybody. Some of them died too, of course. But most of those people just needed some nourishment. You're sick, good luck, I'm going to the country house, And the Christians stayed there. So when the plague was over and all these people came back, the Christians who had been feared and despised were all of a sudden held in great honor. Because they'd done what this text says, you see. This text is not the Old Testament. There's only one Testament with two parts, if you will. This text is given by the church to us. So think, what are you going to do? I've been thinking of things like one of my birthdays, the community gave me a beautiful leather jacket. I really loved it. And one morning at prayer, the Lord said, I want you to give that jacket away. I thought, oh, what about the other one? No. That one. So I took it and I put it over in the Vincent DePaul bin over there. I don't know who got it, but in heaven I'll find out. I got to say, thanks for your jacket. Love and sensitivity. You know, look at my Aunt Mary, you know, hugging that woman and the Lord bringing it back, oh, I don't know, 50, 60 years later. And she realizes, yeah, that was Jesus.